What a world. Welcome to a new episode of the Brand Janu Show. As you know, I am Brand Janu, and like always on all podcast platforms, it is Brand Janu Show. Social media platforms, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook, Brand Janu Show, and of course, YouTube channel, Brand Janu Show. I hope you guys enjoy this episode tonight because this is I Bleed Sports. a lot of things going on in the world of sports, and it's time for me to cover it, man. Talk about it a little bit. So, let's get into it. So the NBA season is officially over. You have officially the play-in starts tomorrow, and I think it's the Western Conference tomorrow, and then the Eastern Conference will be Wednesday. So, closing out the season, start with the West, I guess, because I had to. The Western Conference, the number one seed in the West is the OKC Thunder, and they will be playing the 8th seed, which will be determined Thursday night when the loser of the 7-8 matchup plays against the winner of the 9-10 matchup. So, and those teams that are playing, vying for the 7 and 8 seeds are the Pelicans and the Lakers. Pelicans yesterday could have got into the playoffs, didn't have to really worry about playing in a play-in if they would have just won yesterday, but the Lakers beat them at home in New Orleans. And beat them pretty soundly, pretty easy. So the winner of that game would be the 7th seed, which will go up against the defending NBA champions, the Denver Nuggets. Now, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, to be honest with you. If I was the Lakers, I would try to avoid the Denver Nuggets. I don't think they match up too well with the Denver Nuggets. They've had some games this season where they've played them pretty well, but the results have still been the same. Denver has been the victor. The Joker is a better player right now than Anthony Davis. I'm not saying overall, but for right now, there's nobody that can touch the Joker on a basketball court. I still would take Jamal Murray over whoever the fuck is in that backcourt. If it is Austin Reeves or D'Angelo Russell, I still would take Jamal Murray over both of them. LeBron James is LeBron James. You're never going to stop him. But depending on how long it takes now, they may avoid trying to play Denver in the second round for the first round. Or they may try to play Denver. I don't know. But what I do know is this. The quicker you get LeBron James's matchup, the better it would be for you. I don't think you want to put LeBron James in a situation where he will have to go to either go home and play either the Kings or Golden State to get into the 8 seed. And I don't give a shit if you could beat the OKC Thunder. That's not a good situation. I don't think you should lose a game just to turn around and be like, yeah, let's play the next game at home because that's way more favorable. It sounds so stupid, especially when you got, you know, the Steph Currys and the Klay Thompsons and the Draymond Greens who have shown you that they can beat the Lakers in certain situations. So it's pretty interesting. And then the Kings have completely and utterly owned the Los Angeles Lakers this year. So I don't think it's a good idea to have the opportunity to fall into some false trap of saying that we can fall to the 8th seed and play the Thunder and that's a better matchup for us, which I don't think that's a better matchup. I get people that want to sit there and say that the Lakers can give the Thunder more of a problem if they fall into the 8th seed. But to me personally, again, I don't think you have anybody that can stop Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But you're going to put LeBron James on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Good fucking luck with that. Like, Chad Holmgren might be young, and he might not be as physically ready to play like Anthony Davis. He might not be as seasoned as Anthony Davis, but I'm tired of people being like, well, it's experience versus teams that never been there before. Bro, we act like teams that never been there before. I've seen Golden State beat the Denver Nuggets, and the Denver Nuggets had Andre Miller, all these other superstars in the Denver and Golden State went in there and beat them. Sometimes shit just happens. OKC is gonna have the number one seed. This is not like Memphis last year, where Memphis had so much turmoil and so many problems that they couldn't get the fuck out their own way. This is a completely different situation. OKC is focused, and that is, to me, is scarier than you saying let's forfeit the seventh seed because we don't want to play Denver, but let's fall into the eighth seed. Well, we might not even win that, but if we do win that, we play against OKC, who could probably, who's younger, quicker, and faster than us. That's not something I want to play into either. So if I'm the Lakers, man, I will try to win tomorrow. I don't give a shit how it slices and dices. I gotta win tomorrow. Now New Orleans could come out with a way different game plan, way different aggression, and maybe they play you and beat you. I don't know. But what I do know is this: whoever falls into the 7 and 8 seed in the Western Conference, they're gonna have their hands full. They're gonna have their hands full. I don't give a shit how you want to slice it or dice it. OKC is a team, man. That's a dangerous fucking team. Yeah, they're young. But this isn't like the Memphis Grizzlies of last year. They're young, but they're not stupid. Like, they're young. They have no off-court distractions. Their best player isn't in the fucking in more of TMZ news articles than on the basketball court honing in his skills. I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander could literally be the MVP this year. We don't know how it's gonna fall out, how it's gonna fall. It can happen. So I think it's a little weird that people will sit there and try to say that because OKC got the number one seed, they're the most in danger to fall. That's some weird shit to me. I don't understand that. But like I said, the Lakers and the Pelicans play tomorrow. They're the first game. Then the nightcap tomorrow will be the Kings and the Warriors. Yeah, I think that's an interesting game, man. The Kings and Warriors are such an interesting game. And because I don't know who's gonna win. And then on top of that, whoever wins, you go to the eight seed, man, and you gotta go play for the eight seed, and that's just gotta be demoralizing for a Kings and Warriors team who had a classic series last year, for the 3-6 matchup. That was a classic series, man, and now you're both are playing for the fucking play-in. You're playing one is playing both of you guys are playing to not get eliminated, and then if one of you get eliminated, the other team has to go to another game, another sudden death. To play, it's just like that's some bullshit. Like, you know what I'm saying? But that's how good the West is this season. So I'm not too surprised that that this is what is happening right now. But it happens. But the other matchups in the West, outside of the 7-8 seed, who of course, like I said, the Nuggets and the Thunder will play the 8 seed. The Nuggets play the 7 seed. The other two matchups in the West are the 6-seeded Suns versus the 3-seeded Timberwolves. Now, the Suns got in yesterday by beating the Minnesota Timberwolves in Minnesota to make it even crazier, beating the Minnesota Timberwolves, but also because of the loss of the Pelicans to the Lakers, they fell into the 6 seed and they will be playing the 3rd seed Minnesota Timberwolves. The thing about this series is very interesting. And the thing about this series is who's going to win out? Is the Minnesota Timberwolves youth? They do have some experience. Rudy Gobert has been in the playoffs tons of times. Carl Anthony Towns has been in the playoffs a couple of times now. And Anthony Edwards not only has been in the playoffs, has actually pushed his game to another level in the playoffs. Can the Minnesota Timberwolves supersede what their own expectations are to beat the Suns, which leans into the Suns, where it's like, does Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal, can they finally get all of this shit together where they haven't really been on the court too many times this season, and now you're in the most crucial parts of the season, and you gotta trust each other. I don't know what's gonna happen in this series. This is gonna be one of them series that can either be a sweep or a 7-game series. You just don't know. You cannot blink because if the Suns' chemistry just don't ever get right during the postseason, it's never going to be right until next year. And like I said, I didn't have the Suns really doing a lot of damage this season. I kind of expected the Suns to kind of have this season that they're having. I thought they'd probably mill or so be in the play-in, which they kind of was almost in the play-in. So I'm not surprised. Minnesota was another team that I kind of expected to be good. But I also said you probably need to trade Karl-Anthony Towns at some point during the season if something happens. He got injured. and Anthony Edwards still played his ass off. Shit happens. So yeah, this is one of those series that you do not know is going to happen until it happens. Now, the 4-5 matchup is the Clippers in the Dallas Mavericks. Now, a lot of people have this series as one of their favorite series. They are looking super forward to this series. I am not. I think this is going to be like a 5 to 6 game series. Clippers. I just think the Clippers have a little bit too much more to lose in this situation than the fucking Mavs. The Mavs can easily just sit there and say, well, we just played a better Clippers team. The Clippers have a lot to lose. And if they fall into the situation where they lose to Luka and Kyrie, it's like, bro, you cannot sit there and tell me this is not a break the fucking team up situation. It would be a break the team up situation. And that is the thing. The Clippers cannot lose in the first fucking round. I don't give a shit how y'all want to slice it and dice it. I don't give a shit if Kawhi Leonard does get injured again. And God forbid he doesn't. God forbid he doesn't. But if he does, man, that's still not enough to make you sit there and say, we can't keep this kid. Like we can't win this series. Like, Dallas is good, but the one thing about Dallas is they're not great at stopping people. You got a Paul George, you got a James Harden, you got a Russell Westbrook. You got to make that shit work. A lot of people, like I said, got this series as very important and going to be a crazy series. And Luka has definitely owned the Clippers for most of the times they have played in the playoffs. Luka has definitely owned the Clippers. But I feel like this season might be the most interesting season to see. This postseason might be the most interesting because I don't know. I don't think that the Mavs can actually stop the Clippers this season. I don't think they have the defense to stop them. And if Kawhi Leonard does play a real role in this season and doesn't get injured, the Clippers kind of could roll them Dallas Mavericks. They could really roll the Dallas Mavericks. Not saying Dallas is not going to be a good series for them and not a good situation for them. They're going to definitely play their ass off, but as good as Luka is, he's going to probably get his numbers. But what is Kyrie going to be like? Who's the third option if Kyrie's not scoring? So it's a slippery slope for Dallas in this series, man. Now let's flip it to the Eastern Conference. The play-in for the East is the 76ers taking on the Miami Heat, the Bulls versus the Hawks. They play Wednesday. The 8 seed game will be Friday. And their postseason should start about Sunday, Monday, this week. I'll come in next week. The Sixers falling into the play-in is the craziest shit you could have thought of. But Joel Embiid got injured. And that was one thing you could not afford if you were the 76ers. You could not afford Joel Embiid to get injured. But he did. I'm shocked that they lasted this much. They got in the play-in. He came back late into the season. He's looked like Joel Embiid, the former MVP. But this is still a very slippery fucking slope that they're on. And they cannot afford to lose at any moment. At any moment, lose their identity in this. And this is only a game or maybe 2 games. Miami's such a dangerous team in these types of situations because as much as we sit there and say Miami can easily just not want to show up sometimes, Jimmy Butler has the ability to will a team. And this is the scariest fucking point of it. I do believe Philly can beat Miami. I truly believe Philly is probably going to beat Miami. But I can also see Philly losing to Miami. Because Philly would, and if you're Miami, you're sitting there saying, okay, do we want to be the 8 seed that plays the Celtics, or do we want to be the 7 seed that plays the Knicks? That's more intriguing. Do you want to be the 8 seed that plays the Celtics, who, yes, for their shortcomings the last couple of weeks, they have definitely looked like an easy target and an easy ass catch it. We can catch them for 4 straight games because they seem like a team that can't get the fuck out their own way. So, damn, when I actually think about it, I would actually want to play the Celtics in the 8 seed. I would actually want to be the 8 seed above the Miami Heat. The Knicks are a hot ass team right now. Like, that is a dangerous team. I would actually want to be the 8 seed because the Celtics have shown that it's something. Like, it's something wrong with the Celtics. Something's up with the Celtics. Like, I don't know what the fuck is going on with them. Yes, they clinched the number one seed. They got the best record in the league. That's awesome. Great. Won't they freaking do? But they look very vulnerable. Like, they look like if anything was to happen, it looks like it happened to them. It feels like a snowball effect. Like, if they lose one game, they're immediately starting doubting themselves. And then they lose another game. And then another game. Like they did last year. They were up 3-1 in that series against Miami. And then it just sunk. Like a fucking, like it just sunk. Like an anchor. They just fell. And it was shocking to see it. But yeah, I think Miami, as good as Miami is, man. If I was Philly, I think if I'm Miami, same thing with the Lakers. Maybe you punt on game on this game and you say, you know what? We know we could beat the Bulls. We know we could beat the Hawks. The Hawks are gonna be a hard team. I'm not gonna lie. The Bulls let yesterday showed up and showed out against the Knicks. If they had that same type of energy, Wednesday night against the Hawks in Chicago, the Bulls could actually beat the Heat. They can beat them for the 8 seed. They can beat them. I don't think they will. But the Bulls got some fight, and that's something that a lot of teams. Because yesterday they weren't really playing for anything. It wasn't like they're gonna move up to the 8 spot, 7 spot, play Philly. They were literally locked in as the 9 seed. They didn't have a reason to play that hard like yesterday. But they took the Knicks to overtime. Like that shit's crazy. Like the Bulls have some fight. And if that is the case, man, that's why I say it's a little shaky if you're Miami. Do you what do you Miami or Philly? Like Philly and Miami both cannot afford to lose tomorrow. Wednesday. They can't afford to lose because then you go into the 8th situation, which you can fall into with the Lakers or the Pelicans, where it's like when you fall into the 8th situation, it's like fuck, okay. Especially if you're the Pelicans who had a chance to be the 6 seed and then you lost, and then you lost again, and now you're like, oh shit, wait a minute. We're still hosting another game, home. We're still hosting another game. But we got the Kings or the Warriors, and then the winner goes against OKC? I guess. Yeah, let's do it. This is a situation at hand where I don't know what's going to happen, and particularly in the East. The East is such an interesting situation because all four of these teams can get into the playoffs and actually make some fucking noise. Like, I don't. The only team I think could sit there and say maybe the Hawks. Maybe the Hawks. Because if the Bulls show that type of fight that they showed yesterday against the Knicks, against the Celtics in the 8 seed situation, fuck, they might win. They might beat the fucking Celtics. Again, the Celtics have talent. I don't think they have that drive anymore. I think they rely too much heavily on the talent that they have. That kind of is the biggest fucking problem. And I think with the situation at hand, Boston cannot afford to play against Philly. Atlanta too. Atlanta got some spirit, man, some heart. They can't afford to play against Atlanta. They can't afford to play against Philly. Boston is the most. I know a lot of people say it's the Thunder. I'm not concerned about the Thunder like I'm concerned about the Celtics. The Celtics, I'm very fucking concerned about them dudes. Like, I am super concerned about the Celtics because the Celtics have such a. They feel like a team that is supposed to be, and when you're supposed to be something. They immediately erase what you are. I just feel like the Celtics are in a very slippery situation. I don't know. The Knicks are very good. Jalen Brunson has that same kind of like it feels like a, you know what the Knicks feel like? The Knicks feel like a better Miami Heat. Like Miami has some pieces, but everything has to 100% come together for them. The Knicks feel like it's the same feeling. Like a really good head coach. You have one dominant star, Jalen Brunson. For Miami, it's Jimmy Butler. And then you have some really complementary pieces that just fits them. Tyler Herro, Bam Adebayo. That's Miami. For New York, OG Anunoby. The center. I forget his name now. It's fucking escaping me. But. Josh Hart, like they got DiVincenzo, like they have pieces. Same thing with Miami. Jamie, I'm not gonna even say that man's name, last name, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Number 11. It feels looks like they are a better Miami. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like a better Miami. And the Knicks feel like that. And that alone could will them to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I know it sounds crazy, but if you look at the playoffs in the East, it's not that far-fetched because the 3-6 matchup is the Bucks versus the Pacers. And I'm gonna be honest, Giannis is hurt. Giannis might not even play in the first game. And what's to say if he doesn't play in the first game, if he plays even in the second game? And now you're starting to have a snowball effect of, will you rush Giannis back too fast to get him playing? Where the Pacers have kind of beaten the shit out the Bucks for the last couple of years times they have played each other. And the Pacers are a team that I also, again, said can be a sleeper this year. Do not sleep on the Pacers. They have some talent. Tyrese Halliburton, you trade and get Pascal Siakam, who's been in the NBA Finals and definitely has had his fair share of good matchups against Giannis Antetokounmpo, and now he has a reason to play so aggressive and so hard. The Pacers are not some wake up and get over team. Like, and of course, on top of that, we all know who the Bucks are coached by, Doc Rivers, which, let's be real, in the playoffs, he's not that fucking good. I can definitely see him losing, getting swept in a series before I could ever see him just sweep in a series. Especially a series that kind of has a little bit of a tougher road than people want to say. You cannot put too much on Dame. You can't have the reliable situation where Dame has to now be like it. Dame cannot be your only. Dame is going to be your only scorer. Where's Chris Middleton? Where's Chris Middleton? Where's like it's going to start to turn into a situation where is these players going to be very reliable on? And for the Bucks, they just feel like they're in more of a holding period. And again, the Bucks are just like the Suns. Like, I felt like the Bucks and the Suns this season are like two teams that maybe need a year. Like, they need to be together for a year. And now having Giannis pretty much being out for the first, maybe the first two games of the season series, and that's when you're at home. You're at home, and that might be the first two games, and he might not even play in them bitches. So by the time you get to Indiana, you might be down 2-0. And whenever he comes back, what does he give you? How much of that injury is going to play a factor? So, yeah, I think the Bucks get bounced in the first round. I just don't have that much belief and faith in Doc Rivers. If Giannis was probably playing, I probably would have a little bit more faith in the Bucks. But the fact that we don't know what Giannis is going to really be like when the playoffs kick off Sunday, that's a scary feeling to now have a situation where you now have to believe that the Bucks can pull off two games without Giannis. That's a scary ass sight. But Tyrese Halliburton has also showed up and shown out when he's needed to show up and show out. So this is gonna be an interesting situation for the Bucks going up against the Pacers. And the 4-5 matchup is the Cavs and the Orlando Magic. Boy, oh boy, did we not see the Orlando Magic. What the fuck? Orlando finally collected some talent, and boy, oh boy, are they back in the playoffs in a blaze of glory. These motherfuckers here, bro. I like the Cavs. I really like the Cavs. I really, really, really like the Cavs. I just don't know what's going to happen if the Cavs do not win this series. Because you're paying Darius Garland. You're paying Donovan Mitchell. I think they haven't really paid Donovan yet. I think he's actually a free agent this year. I'm not sure. Maybe when this episode comes out, y'all hit me up in the comments and tell me. I don't. Yeah, y'all hit me up in the comments and tell me if Donovan Mitchell is under contract with the Cavs. I think he's not. I think he's got one more year. I think this is his last year with the Cavs. I'm not sure. But you got Evan Mobley. You got Jared Allen. The Cavs are kind of in the same boat as the Clippers in a sense, right? Because they've been together for a while now. I think 2 years. Then Donovan got traded, what, last year? I want to say. Last year, I think Donovan Mitchell got traded. A year prior, he got traded. Last year, he got traded in the offseason, and then he ends up in with the Cavs. But this is an interesting situation into itself because I don't know if the Cavs lose this series, which let's not act like they cannot lose this series, because they can definitely lose this series. Do you blow this up? And that is a conversation that a lot of these teams are going to have. The Mavs, Dallas is definitely going to have it. I know you got Luka and Kyrie, but if Luka loses in the first round, I don't think Luka has signed an extension. I think Luka can leave next year. So the Clippers, definitely. Minnesota, you start looking at them a little like, you can't beat the Suns with this type of Suns team. I don't know. But the Cavs are definitely in that situation also with their situation. Same thing with kind of the Celtics, right? Because we don't know what's going to happen. But one thing I will say is this, man. Orlando's a good team. Really good team. Pablo Bancaro has become an actual fucking star. That's a scary feeling to know that not only did you draft the right player, you might have got a franchise player. That's a different type of energy. And for me, and that alone to me is where I feel like the Orlando Magic can actually beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is not as easy to me as the Clippers and Mavs series. This is going to be, and this is kind of my favorite series of the playoffs. I think this is going seven. I think this is going to be a seven game series because Cleveland is not just going to give it up to the Orlando Magic, and the Orlando Magic are not just going to take it from Cleveland. This is going to be a seven game series, and I cannot wait. For the Celtics and the Knicks, I think the Knicks could get to the NBA Conference Finals. I know a lot of people think I'm crazy, but if the Pacers do beat the Bucks, and the Knicks beat either the Heat or Philly, then the Knicks can get to the Eastern Conference. I think they could beat the Pacers. I think they could beat the Pacers. Even though the Pacers have a little bit more height than they do, they match up a little bit more well with the Pacers than they probably would. And even with Milwaukee, I think they could beat Milwaukee too if that was to happen. But I think the Knicks get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I know it sounds absolutely fucking nuts to sit there and say the Knicks can get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but the Knicks can get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I won't go that far and say they're going to get to the NBA Finals, but the Eastern Conference Finals, you're fucking right. I think they definitely get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think they get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And then when they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, they might can get to the NBA Finals because anything can happen at that time. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how this is all going to play out. And yeah, this playoff is going to be fucking interesting. It's going to be super duper interesting. Also, Caitlin Clark just got drafted. She is the number one overall pick in the WNBA Women's Draft. Congratulations to Caitlin Clark. She will be teaming up with last year's number one pick, Aaliyah Boston for the Indiana Fever. Like I said last week, I don't know if they're gonna go and do anything damaging. That's a hard eat. They play in the East, man. That East is not easy, bro. You gotta go straight through the New York Liberty. What else? What I think the Chicago Sky, like you got some teams in the WNBA that's not just gonna let you roll over and beat them. Like that's Atlanta, like you got some teams, man, in the East. And then even if you get out the East, you got the Vegas Aces. Like, bro, this is not something that you just you but Seattle, you got Connecticut, Phoenix, LA still, the Sparks. Yeah, this is just some easy shit to just walk in and walk out. Like, it's gonna be a minute, but congratulations to Clayton Clark. This is gonna be something interesting, man. What else I want to talk about before I get off this damn show? Oh, UFC 300 happened this past weekend. I know everybody has seen the clip of Max Holloway and Justin Gaethje at the end of the fight. Max Holloway is like, man, fuck all that. Let's get in the middle of the ring. Let's fucking go. Let's get it popping. That was the best thing I think I've ever seen. That was fucking entertaining. Like the fact that them two got in the middle of the ring, in the middle of the octagon, sorry, middle of the octagon, and was like, let's throw hands. Like, let's throw hands. And then the memes right after it, the funniest shit is like, I know he probably put the fear of God in people that's gonna be trying to do that shit ever again. Max Holloway is a really great boxer. I mean, a really great UFC star. He's a hell of a mixed martial artist. He's been a champion. He's been at the top of the mountain. He knows how it is. Now, I think he's been gone out of UFC for a minute. Now he's back. Good luck to whoever the fuck he wants to fight next. Because after a situation like that and you knock out someone like that, I'm pretty fucking sure. I'm pretty fucking sure nobody's gonna want to fight you anytime fucking soon. So good luck trying to get people to fight you. Which brings me to this Saturday, which will be Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia. They will be fighting this Saturday night. I'll be at my brother's house watching this fight. I have said Devin Haney might wins this fight. I feel like Devin Haney will win this fight. I just feel like he will. Only if he's not stupid, which is the thing. You can't be stupid. He cannot let himself fall into the trap of trying to go power for power for Ryan Garcia. That is not his strong suit. He is not that type of guy. But he is a boxer. I will definitely give you that. He is a fucking boxer. And the problem with being a true boxer is the fact that you might not have the power to physically stop someone. Ryan Garcia has his ability, has his height, his weight, and the power to knock Devin Haney's ass the fuck out. This is the one thing I said about the Regis Prograis fight. Regis stood there. He wasn't quick enough to get Devin Haney. Devin Haney cannot afford. Devin Haney cannot afford to try to go power for power with Ryan Garcia. They have boxed before. We all know it. If you know the history between these two men, you know the history. They have boxed each other before. They've had these sparring matches. They've had countless encounters during the amateurs. People keep saying, will this be something different? Will Ryan know something about Devin that he hasn't seen before? Something like, will Devin, do this? Devin needs to do one thing. Outbox Ryan Garcia. You're not Tank Davis. Tank has the power to stop a Ryan Garcia. I don't think Devin does. You hit Regis Prograis, you knocked him down. You never tried it again. Even when you were tagging him, you never tried it again. There's a reason for that. I truly believe that as good as Devin Haney is, you cannot go power for fucking power with Ryan Garcia because you will instantly lose that fight. You will instantly lose that fight. Now here's the thing. Ryan Garcia, when he's in trouble, all he wants to do is knock you the fuck out. The problem with that is that he won't let the fight dictate to him. He will literally try to knock you out. So when you fight somebody like that, you know their game plan, which means you can execute yours better. Because once Ryan Garcia is in trouble, he's going to try to load up and hit you with everything he's got. As long as Devin Haney is smart enough, and this is the key point, as long as he's smart enough to play the boxing game with him and do what he needs to do, jab, getting in and out, get the angles. Ryan Garcia kind of gives up his position a little bit too much when he's boxing. If you watch him, he kind of gives up his position a little bit too damn much. Again, it's only because he's trying to load up and hit you with the big shots. But if Devin actually does what he's supposed to do, and that is box, jab, get in and out, Devin wins this fight easily. He wins it by decision. I don't think he rocks Ryan Garcia out. I think he wins it by decision. But the moment he fucks up, Ryan gonna tag him. And that's where the problem lies. I expect Devin Haney to get knocked down in the first round. I'm gonna be honest with y'all. I think Devin Haney gets knocked down in the first round, but I think he gets up. And I think the rest of the fight, he kind of like, okay, that was stupid. I fucked up. That was a dumbass game plan. Let me go back to what I know how to do. And he's gonna shake the cobwebs off. And then the rest of the fight, he's gonna dominate. But I do believe he's gonna be stupid the first fucking round and try to go power for power with Ryan Garcia. Like, man, you ain't got shit. And he gonna get fucking caught and he gonna get fucking tagged and he gonna fall to the ground. I can see that fast and I can see Devin Haney flooring Ryan Garcia. I just believe it. So, yeah. I'm looking forward to this fight this upcoming week. This upcoming weekend. And hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Tomorrow is the NBA playoffs. Hope you guys enjoy that. Till next time, I am Brandon Janu. This is I Bleed Sports. Peace.